Welcome to the Startup Canada podcast, where we talk to Canada's most innovative and entrepreneurial leaders and changemakers. I'm your host, Rick Spence, and as a business journalist, editor, and entrepreneur, I've learned what makes Canadian startups special, successful, and scalable. Join me every Tuesday to hear news stories of Canadian entrepreneurs and learn about the moments that mattered most on their journeys. The Startup Canada podcast is a production of Startup Canada. Don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. Entrepreneurs from coast to coast to coast, welcome to the Startup Canada podcast. On the show today, we're excited to speak with Ange Pei, co-founder and head of product at Calgary-based Voto. That's V-O-T-O. Ange is the co-founder of Voto, a customer engagement platform for social good. She has over 5 years of experience as a product manager working on banking and customer engagement software. In 2021, she transitioned into entrepreneurship to lead and support tech innovation that serves to give back. In her spare time, Ange is a fitness enthusiast, borderline gourmet cook, and she often moonlights as a DJ. Ange, welcome to the show.
Hey, Rick. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to chat about your entrepreneurial journey, but first, what we like to do on this show is give our listeners, most of whom are entrepreneurs, a preview as to what sort of value or learnings they might get out of this show. So is there a top piece of advice that you hope fellow entrepreneurs will gain from our conversation today?
Yeah, actually, first, how can they infuse social impact into the work that they're doing? How do you create that long-lasting, you know, impact, whether that be with your community, with your employees, with the people that you serve, your clients? I think that'd be the first things first. And then second piece of advice or takeaway would be around how to keep going, when times get really hard. And especially this world can be very lonely. If we can touch on those two things, social impact and entrepreneurship resilience, I think those are some things that hopefully we can leave the people with.
Perfect. Let me just ask you about the social impact. Can you sell us on social impact? Is there a reason, any selfish reasons why we might ask entrepreneurs to think about the social impact of their business? Or is it all an add-on that you do just for the community of it all?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think from a selfish reason, if we look at data, and especially a lot of leaders, there is data that shows that companies who do have a social impact mission do generate better revenue. So that's been seen within the S&P 500. I wish I had the metrics just right off the top of my head, but even leaders within purpose-driven companies, 88% of them say that they're driving more profit, and they're saying employee morale is also up at close to 97% from companies who actually are purpose-driven and actually who give back. So from a selfish reason, you know, there is demonstrations at the top line that there is like a clear benefit there. And from just a clear human altruistic perspective, giving back is just important. Seeing people around you happy, being able to have an impact on your community at large. I think that outside of just the hard numbers and revenues, I think there is a beautiful thing there to be said, and something that warms the heart on top of, you know, building a fatter pocket, however that looks like for your business.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think there's a third element, and maybe it was included in what you were thinking, but it's also, to me, it's all, you know, being socially positive is it a candidate incentive. It's a way of attracting talent. So many young people today, you know, they ask about that, they care about that, and they want to be with an organization that has a social purpose behind it, as well as,
absolutely,
you know, the usual profit and employment motive.
Yeah, and I think that was, and when I was speaking, it was like the employee morale piece, right? At 97%, like, just, hey, like, you're working for a company that actually does, you know what I mean, some good, and you can feel that being resonated with you as well.
So tell us a little bit about Voto. I was on the website and see that there's a bunch of companies engaged there in trying to get information from their marketplace, trying to engage with potential customers, and it looked really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we found is over 90% of the younger generation want to engage and also are more loyal and want to purchase from companies that actually do good. So what Voto is we're an experiential engagement platform, and we help businesses to run these fun, engaging campaigns that have a clear charitable trigger attached to them. And with that, with the campaigns that we run, we hope to help businesses obviously engage better with their audience, but that results in more sales, more insights, and then more importantly, just a better connection and more loyalty that they're able to get from their audience. A really good example of a campaign that we ran last year with a local brewery here in the city of Calgary, so I'm based out of Calgary, is we got people to vote on the design of the can. We got people to vote on the type of beer that was being brewed. And with every single vote, money was donated to a local charity here in the city called the Family Advocacy Support Center. So it's how we pair engagement with charitable donations. And then at the end of the day, because people voted, they were actually, you know, part of creating that product with that brewery, we saw pre-sales that were generated way ahead of production. And more importantly, with the beer sold, parts of the proceeds of the beer that was sold also went to the local charity. So we're tying in, you know, engagement, voting, getting people bought in with the charitable giving triggers. And that in turn obviously benefits, you know, the community through the donations being made to a local charity. But more importantly, they also help to drive the value prop to the business, which is an increase in pre-sales, insights, and leads that they're able to generate.
I don't know, Anj, that sounds suspiciously like win-win-win.
I know. And I think that's the part there too, where we're saying, hey, like, you can actually like tap into people, like people want to give their feedback, people want to be engaged. And I think that's like a big part that's missing from today's like B2C companies. It's just like, can you draw people in? Can you get them excited about something? Can you do good? Yes, you can, right? Charitable giving triggers can be embedded into your engagement. And then more importantly, yeah, like you said, like it's win, 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 and then the community wins. So I think it's a world that's possible and that can speak to both the altruistic minds, but also the business-driven, you know, data-driven minds as well.
Yeah. Was there an aha moment that led you to create this platform? Where did it come from?
Yeah, absolutely. So prior to Voto, we had my co-founder and I had another idea that we're working on. It was called Conservo, so concert voting mashed into a single word. And the idea though was, hey, can we add in more customer engagement to the concert lifecycle? Meaning, can we get people to vote on either parts of the set list or something within the concert where the fans are building it with the artists? And with that, we'd be able to generate either more, you know, merch sales or more ticket sales for artists. Within that business model that we had created at the time, there was always an element where if people, like, you know, bought votes and, you know, paid to vote, money would not only go to the artist, but it would go to the artist's charity of choice as well. So it'd be split there. And we launched the idea, but it was right in the middle of COVID. So there were no concerts and artists were focused on pivoting to, you know, how do we perform online? How do we even, you know, stay afloat? And so, you know, that idea kind of, you know, we had to make a pivot, and the pivot was Voto. And so with, you know, the research and, you know, trying to start a new concept from scratch, but keeping the ideas of engagement, of charitable giving intact, we then said, hey, is there a problem on the business side of things, you know, with engagement? And what we found is there's actually a really low conversion rate, meaning for every, you know, 100 people that a business tries to engage with, and complete a call to action. So whether a business is trying to get people to sign up to something, to purchase something, to click on something, whatever the call to action is, out of 100 people, only 2 to 5 of them actually complete the action. So that's really the kind of the root problem that we're trying to solve. And so we're saying, hey, if you add in charitable giving triggers into the experience, we think that we can increase those conversion rates. Those are some technical marketing terms there, but it's how do you get people more engaged, people bought in, people leaning in, excited about what you're creating, but also doing that in a way that serves to give back. So that's kind of the inception into where we are today.
Were you right? Was your theory right? Does adding the charitable donation part actually boost people's engagement and interaction with the brands?
Yes, absolutely. So across the four different call to actions that we have within our platform right now, people have the ability to vote, people have the ability to complete a survey, to collect contact information, and to click a link. Across all four call to actions, we're averaging a 36% conversion rate on that. And like I mentioned, the industry conversion rates are sitting around 2-5%. Obviously, you know, as we grow our sample size larger, you know, those numbers will kind of, you know, fall slightly. But the hypothesis is standing true, yes, that adding in charitable giving into the process does actually increase the likelihood of people completing those actions. So across our platform, we've had over 950 different actions completed across the campaigns that we've ran, and we're sitting at that 36% conversion rate. And so
just looking at your webpage at votoapp.co shows the various campaigns that are going. They seem to be mainly local or regional at this point, Edmonton and Calgary. Is there anything preventing businesses in other parts of the country from getting involved with Voto?
No, there's nothing preventing other businesses across the country, right? Just manpower. So we can do it. We've got a platform that we have built out. So if there's anyone outside of the province of Alberta who's within Canada that wants to reach out to us and try out an experiential campaign with us, we're more than happy to work with them.
Right. What would it cost someone to, let's say someone's thinking, okay, we want to do something different. What would it cost them more or less to sort of get involved and try you out with a campaign or a new product idea or that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good question. So it would depend, but at the baseline, we're asking for a minimum of $500 in terms of the donation value for the campaign. So obviously we say like every single action within the campaign has a donation attached to it. So overall, at the end of the day, we want to, you know, have that $500 minimum donation. And then it would honestly just depend on, you know, do you need marketing support? Do you need, how hands-on do you need us to be with the campaign? But all in all, like I'd say the starting point is around $1,000 there to get started all in all. But it's just something that we're always happy to work with organizations towards finding a sweet spot and working with them on something like this. But yeah, the $500 donation is like the minimum piece there for us.
And how does Voto make its money? I hope, does it take a share of the donation or is there a fee somewhere in there as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So we take a percent, we put a percentage on top of the donation as to not eat into the donation value. So we charge a 10% service fee on top of the donation. And then depending on if, you know, there's extensive marketing support that's needed, things like that, there's a few different add-ons, but that percentage service fee is the main bulk of how we make our money.
Right. And I presume that the, I should never presume. I've learned that. If I've learned one thing, I've learned, stop presuming, Rick. So I'll ask it as a question. Is there a secret to getting a lot of people to engage with you on the Voto problem? Are you constantly like building up the audience? Do they have to bring the audience to Voto in order to be, had to have a successful campaign?
Yeah, I'd say it's a mix of both for sure. Yeah. So usually we work with our clients because the bulk of what we want to focus on and the value that we bring is with the technology that we have. So working with our clients, we work with them and, you know, leverage their audience, but we also work through different kind of marketing strategies to also engage our audience and newer audience that our clients may not have access to that may be interested in the campaign that they're running.
Yeah. And I noticed that the previous company, Conservo, is actually represented on the list of campaigns here, so it still survives in a certain way.
Exactly. Still survives in a certain way. And I think one thing too that we've done in terms of validating our approach to things is we've done tests, right? So Voda as a company has done tests. So like the very first campaign that we ever launched, we tested the software on ourselves. So we actually, our goal at the time was to get people to sign up to our mailing list. So we put like a, we said, hey guys, from an experiential perspective, vote on the design of our logo. So we had two different options. Obviously none of us are graphic designers internally, but my co-founder just has a you know, a knack for design. So we had like two different ideas and we put it out there and we got people to vote on the design of our logo. And then after they voted, we said, hey, you know, would you like to join our mailing list? So with that, you know, we had a 52% conversion rate. So 100 people voted. That was like the cap. We said, hey, we're going to donate $100. 100 people voted and then 52 people left their contact information. So we like to test things ourselves for the conservo model. One thing that we did is we partnered with an amazing like local event producer and we decided to put on a concert to see if we got people to, you know, vote on parts of the lineup, if we could generate engagement and if we could generate ticket sales ahead of the show, way, way ahead of the show. And so we were able to prove that. So it's a way of bringing back the conservo model, but working with a local partner to say, hey, is this something that's viable? And can we test the Voda model in more than one way?
Right. What will success look like to you at Voda?
Success looks like if we can get as many companies, and right now the beachheads that we're targeting are around consumer packaged goods and live events. If we could get as many of those companies having Voda campaigns active, wherein fans and consumers across the world really are involved in building these products and services. And every single time they're engaging in these campaigns, money is going to charity. So really we see the vision of the company is, you know, having every action on the internet result in a positive reaction. So every action being, you know, some type of click, some type of, you know, form completion, some type of vote of some sort, and then as much money going to charity from those actions. So that would be really the biggest win right there. I want people to vote on anything and everything, right? The design of an upcoming product that's released, the flavor of an upcoming product that's released, you know, the encore song at the next concert, you know, the design of the next album cover, like so many different opportunities for Voda to be embedded in part of kind of the digital landscape. And if every single time people are, you know, participating in those campaigns, money is going to charity, that's the biggest win.
Yeah. I can think of a million ways to use this platform, but I really like the idea that you've got the two key target markets, you know, at least for now. I think that's really important to sharpen the focus like that so that you can actually deal with all the potential of a product like this. And how are you going about trying to promote this platform and get more companies to use it?
Yeah, so what we're going to be starting within the new year here is just like a marketing like blitz. One of the first things that we want to do is really have surveys out there to really understand like what do people want to vote on, right? Like how do people want to impact businesses out there? So get as many people engaged with us. Also from an educational standpoint, get them to understand the value of Voda, because obviously it's a two-sided marketplace, right? We've got we got two clear personas within the platform: innovators, which are businesses, and with those businesses, you know, we do literally cold outreaches. We reach out to them, whether we know people in industry or we're, you know, reaching out to them cold and saying, hey, engage, you know, like let's create an engagement campaign together. Let's give money to charity. Let's see if we can get you those pre-sales. Let's see if we can get you those leads and insights that you're so desperately needing. So, you know, having a campaign geared towards that. So whether that's like a marketing and sales piece. And then part number two is engaging with as many homies, and homies are the consumers, they're the voters, they're the people who are, you know, engaging in those campaigns and saying, hey, we're a new company, we're doing this thing, and we want you to be part of it. All you got to do is, you know, literally engage, which is like click a button, fill out a form, and money will be donated to a charity. And more importantly, you also help to like impact decisions that businesses are doing. So a marketing blitz is the way that we're going to go about it. We're also going to be creating our own Voda campaigns. So, you know, getting, you know, homies and people out there to just impact our own business through decisions that they can make. So, you know, we're trying to go about it through so many different ways and hopefully share our mission. Conversations like this are a great way to you know, share the work that we're doing. So we're just, you know, grateful to Startup Canada for giving us this platform. And yeah, it's just people getting to know us and why we're doing what we're doing, I think is another great way for people to get bought in. So those are the different tactics and avenues that we're using to, you know, to grow the mission and then get, you know, engagement for social good going.
Right. I guess one of my concerns in about businesses that have two-sided marketplaces is that it's sort of twice as much work. As you know, we don't just have to talk to the customers that are bringing us new business. We also have to go out and build this universe of consumers or homies, as you call them. How do you know which one to prioritize?
Right. That's a really good question. I think that first we prioritize, you know, and prioritize, I don't necessarily know if this is the right word, but I'd say first we...
I know it's not, because you got to build both.
Exactly. No, you get it. I think first is, you know, building those relationships with clients, right? With, you know, the businesses to have these, you know, kind of clear targets in mind, whether that's, you know, generating more pre-sales, getting people engaged on a new product or service, or something that they currently, you know, have within their product line. So finding those businesses first and foremost that we can work with and who have a, you know, similar alignment with the work that we're doing is step number one, I would say. And then with that, you know, as a company and with our own like culture and everything like that, or with as many campaigns that, you know, we continue to create, then sharing those campaigns and inviting people into the process. And we're inviting people into the campaigns, but we're also inviting people to just join us. Right. So if I think of like a step one, step two, I'd say, you know, businesses coming first, having those campaigns, you know, on the platform, and then, you know, inviting people to be part of those campaigns, but actively at all times, like, you know, we just agreed on there together. It's doing both at the same time.
Yeah. Brainstorming in the air is always dangerous business, but I'm just wondering, it seems to me that as far as building the community goes, you know, you've got to build relationships with other groups that are already out there and hoping to share their lists.
Exactly.
Whether it's, you know, thinking of student groups or something, right. For instance, get you that young, busy, household forming, concert going, informed, committed consumers you're looking for. It seems to me that they're probably there's probably a whole lot of other groups out there. If you could somehow only create a relationship with them, that would get you access
exactly
to it. Yeah. All right. And you mentioned your co-founder a couple of times. Let's give them some credit and tell me how you guys got started.
Yeah. My co-founder, her name is Kajal Dutani. She's awesome. She leads the design and the operations of the company. Honestly, like, such an amazing person. You know, we've been working on this, you know, since the inception. So we've been a couple of years. So it's actually interesting that we're filming this episode today. I won't reveal the day, but like, we're at the 2-year mark since we, you know, created we launched the very first Voto campaign. We got people to like work on this together. She's just such an amazing, talented, you know, individual. And, you know, where I lack, she obviously, like, you know, takes it to the finish line and everything like that. And, you know, so
right.
Yeah, love working with her. She's awesome. Anything you see visually from a marketing design perspective on the, like, on Voto website, social medias, everything, she creates all those assets. She just has such a creative mindset. And she's also like, you know, a killer at pitching. That's another thing that, you know, she's got going. I can have a conversation every now and then and have a, you know, good like one-on-one conversation, but she's a performer is the way that I like to put it, because she has a background in dance as well. So anyone who's able to like get on the stage and do something in front of a large audience, I always commend, because it's such a hard thing to do.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a great partnership. You support each other. So
absolutely.
Can you tell us this of a, you know, a case study or a success story that's come out of Voto's work so far?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I shared the example of the beer campaign that we read. And so with that, you know, we worked with a brewery and a local charity here in the city. And so we got people to vote on the design of the can as well as the type of beer that was being brewed. And we were able to, with every single, obviously, vote, money went to the local charity called the Family Advocacy Support Center. And, you know, proceeds of the beer also went to the charity as well. But what was really cool about that experience is we were able to generate sales way ahead of them, you know, even turning the tap on, which we think of like a traditional or more of a transactional, you know, marketing campaign is you would build the product and then you would market it to sell it, right? But we were doing engagement and marketing way ahead of the product even being built, right? And we were able to like generate, you know, attention about the product, sales, and also just, you know, people who were bought into something because they got a chance to build that thing with the business. So that's something that we're really proud of there is that campaign that we ran with Born Brewing is the name of the local charity. And it's just something that we're really proud of.
Yeah. And what did the brewery, what was their experience? Did they find that they got, I mean, I don't know if the survey was multiple choice or whether they got actually some new ideas or different feedback that maybe they hadn't thought of or weren't expecting?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think what was really cool for them is just like testing out this idea of like, hey, before we even turn the taps, are we actually going to get money in the bank? Which is like a really, you know, for any business out there, cash in hand is always king, right? The second piece there, I'd say, for the types of beer, the types of beers that were being, the people voted on the type of beer that was being brewed. I think there was some really valuable information in terms of what actually ended up winning was a sour that ended up winning. So just even insights on, okay, hey, you know, IPA was part of the list, stout, which, you know, doesn't, you know, trend as more popular, but, you know, there were different types of beers in there and you know, why did the sour win, things like that. And also kind of the design, like what are people leaning more towards because the designs were so different than one another. So just different insights in how people are viewing the different kind of options that they have, I think is a really good, neat piece of insight.
Right. What's been the toughest part about building Voto so far?
The toughest part. We've been bootstrapped since the beginning, so that's one tough part. And I'd say wearing all the hats, right? I come from a corporate background where I'm, you know, I used to be a product manager and I still consider myself a product manager, but, you know, wearing all of the all the different hats, I'd say is a really tough thing, right? You now have to be proficient at, you know, copywriting. You have to be proficient at sales. You have to be proficient at marketing. You have to be proficient at, you know, understanding the legal requirements, putting together, you know, your books, whether with accounting, right? So I'd say wearing all the different hats and still having to execute on, hey, we actually have active campaigns. So I'd say that piece around managing the campaigns, but also running a company in general, like both of those things can be very challenging when you're bootstrapped. But hopefully now we're working towards, becoming investment ready and then putting together that due diligence on our end. So hopefully there's more and more support that can be created and, you know, applying to grants and hopefully getting those.
Right. I mean, that's the dream of startups is that you get to take off one of those hats every few months.
Exactly.
Until you get to the stuff you're actually good at. And then yes. You keep doing that. Yeah. If we could wave our Startup Canada magic wand and solve one problem for you, like overnight, which problem would you want us to solve? And I'm not saying we're gonna, but.
I mean, from this conversation, I'm understanding you're committing to solving it, right?
You've got that in writing, sure.
I'd say more clients, more people, more businesses out there wanting to try Voto and wanting to, like, you know, create this experiential engagement campaign wherein we can, you know, help them to infuse charitable giving into that experience and create a fun, engaging campaign. And more importantly, help them to reach those business goals, right? So I'd say you're helping us out just even by having this conversation and you know, sharing your platform with us by amplifying the mission that we're trying to uncover. But when we have active campaigns, just sharing those campaigns, right, with people and kind of amplifying our message is usually, you know, the ask right now. And if Startup Canada even wants to create a campaign, that'd be pretty cool. So those are some of the things that I think about, is just how might we, you know, share and get people to engage in these campaigns. Because ultimately the biggest kind of cost associated with the Voto campaign is just you donating, the business donating to a charity. So it's, you know, it's a win-win there. And we're able to, like, tie, you know, the campaign KPIs to clear, you know, business drivers.
Interesting. So you could actually target companies' charitable giving budgets to come through Voto.
Yes, absolutely. And we can tie them directly to the clear call to action. So whether that call to action is, hey, we want, you know, people to, you know, complete more of these surveys, or hey, we want people, you know, people's feedback on the research and development process. So, you know, creating a new product or service, we want people to engage there. We want people to buy more of something after they've helped to build it. We've got clear ways to tie in the giving to the business or operational goal.
Yeah, because like the worst thing for an entrepreneur to hear is for a company to say, we don't have a budget for that. You can say, oh, yes, you do.
Yeah, yes, you do. You've got the budget either within marketing, within customer experience, or if you're big enough and, you know, not just big enough, I think lucky enough and, you know, privileged enough, you have, you know, a giving budget, and a lot of companies don't. But that's where we focus on, you know, the experiential campaigns which fit within marketing or customer experience.
Right. And can you tell us a success story from the social impact side? What sort of organizations have you been able to help?
Yeah, absolutely. So across all our different campaigns, we're currently running one right now with the Calgary's Communities Against Sexual Abuse. So that's an awesome one that's currently active. Another one that's active right now is with PCHS, which is the Punjabi Community Health Services. We've helped the Alberta Children's Hospital in the past. We've helped End from the Cold in the past. These are just a few of the different organizations that money has been donated to. And so a lot of the work that we focus is around, like, the micro donations, right? Which is, like, you know, the action, that specific action has a clear dollar value tied to it. But with a lot of the campaigns that we've done. So those are just a few of the different charities that, you know, money has gone to and impacted.
Right. Can you just tell me a little bit more about the micro donations triggered by actions and things? Because that sounds really intriguing, but I'm not quite sure what it means.
So within the experiential campaigns that we create, you know, we work with businesses and say, okay, what is the outcome of what is the goal, right, that you have with this campaign? We work with them. So sometimes it's, hey, I want, you know, more people to complete this survey. Hey, I want people to vote on this thing. Hey, I want people to, you know, I want to grow my mailing list and I want them to leave their contact information. So all of those different goals are tied to specific actions. So whether that's someone completing a survey, that's an action. That's someone voting on something, that's another action. Someone leaving their contact information, that's an action. So we say, hey, every single time a consumer or a member of your audience completes that action, a dollar value is going to go to charity. So to answer your question around, you know, micro donations and actions is, for example, every single time someone completes the survey, $1 will be donated to a local charity.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we talk those pieces that way.
Yeah. Technology is all around us. It's increasing, it's creating new possibilities. Do you have any feel for the new technologies coming along that can really help speed up your journey?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think one that I can think through is just blockchain or having that kind of open, public, immutable ledger of transactions, right? So how might we, a lot of the giving right now that's done is, there isn't like, not necessarily, there's just like, there's not necessarily like transparency around it, or there isn't like a public way to go in, you know, because a lot of companies are private, right? To go and say, hey, company X donated to charity Y and have that like publicly available. Does that make sense? So it'd be interesting to have some type of a ledger that shows, you know, money being transacted from for profit to nonprofit, and have that just be open and free information that's accessible, and also like validated that money did happen, right? Because I think a lot of these things are happening for some people in kind. Some of them is, you know, a foundation that's, you know, donating. So it's I'd love to see some more transparency around that. I think that blockchain could be a good way of kind of having that transparency and that, you know, this did happen. So those are some of the things that I can think about right off the top of my head. But I think just in general, just the idea that, you know, we've brought payments, right, from businesses, but we've brought them over to consumers, right, and giving them the ability to process payments, have them sped up, and have that whole giving flow online. And, you know, you can get your receipt email to you just like within, you know, a few minutes of you donating. So it's just like, you know, we've been able to really simplify the giving process using technology. So I think that's just a cool way that technology has helped nonprofits out there, but also just people remain, for people to become altruistic.
Yeah, that sounds like a great vision. Thank you for that. Okay, Anj, any final thoughts or words of advice that you want to leave our listeners with from your experience building Voto?
Always have your why, I'd say, really clear and top of mind. For us, our why is we want digital engagement. We want, you know, engagement on the internet, clicks and completions of things to result in a charitable donation and good being done, right? So we've got our clear vision. I'd say for entrepreneurs out there, having your clear vision about what do you want the world to look like if you were to be successful? Like, what is that actual impact that you're going to leave outside of just, you know, the profits? I'd say it'd be super important for people to think through that. I think having that is such an important part of where business is moving towards. And, you know, there's data that shows us that. And another thing too is just like, keep going, right? Keep going, iterate as you go, and talk to as many people as possible, because that's the only way that you'll really get that validation that you need. And it can be lonely out there, but, you know, stay connected to other entrepreneurs, stay connected to organizations like Startup Canada, or, you know, things like Platform Calgary. Like, I'm over here in Calgary, but there's just so many different organizations that you can stay connected to ensure that you're remaining not just in the loop, but supported from a holistic approach with your business.
Right. Can you quickly name any of the organizations that you're staying in touch with locally in Calgary for any of our listeners out there?
Yeah, absolutely. Platform Calgary is a great place with tons of different, there's a physical space and tons of different events that are ran through here. Startup TNT is another great organization with, you know, pitches that are, you know, happening quite frequently and quite often. BBVA, which is the Black Business Ventures Association, helping entrepreneurs like myself with their business journeys. I mean, there's just so many different ones, and we know, you know, governing bodies like Alberta Innovates. So there's countless of different ones. You just gotta go outside.
I love it. Yeah, just go outside.
And don't be afraid.
That goes back. Exactly. That goes back to the initial advice from Silicon Valley that there are no answers in your office.
Yes.
Go outside is probably the best advice for any entrepreneur. I love it. All right. We have been talking with Anj Pei, the co-founder and head of product at Calgary-based Voto, and that's votoapp.co. Congratulations on your success so far, and we're really excited about the potential. So we'll stay in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the Startup Canada podcast. This show is produced by Lauren Hicks and Maddie Stiles. Be sure to tune in every Tuesday for a new episode. Until next week, I'm your host, Rick Spence.